VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Hey Austin, tired of battling the mighty pollen? We've got your back. Aspire Allergy and Sinus offers lasting allergy relief so you can chuck those temporary fixes and savor that sweet, sweet taste of victory over pollen. With same-day results and tailor-made treatment plans, we've turned the tables on allergies. Aspire patients enjoy relief that lasts for years. Schedule your appointment today at aspireallergy.com. Turn your daily sneeze-a-thon into a breeze with Aspire Allergy and Sinus. Go to aspireallergy.com.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Welcome to The Games, the podcast of record from The Times. I'm Chris Skinner and I'm here at Times HQ, just a few miles from the Olympic Park. And today I'm going to be discussing the rowing gold rush with Patrick Kidd. Mark Asplund will give a photographer's perspective of the Games. And I talk to The Sun's Mr. Showbiz Gordon Smart from a little booth in the Groucho Club. That's not a joke, that's where the interview happened. You've been in touch, tweeting us using the MyOlympics hashtag. Sue Cross wrote, and this did tickle me, watching the backstroke, may have to take painkillers for my shoulder. They are aching in sympathy. It's not just the swimming that's done that, the rowing. Oh my word, there are so many sports that are literally leaving me feeling absolutely exhausted. I'll have a few more of those later on in the programme. So let's start with Mark Asplund. I spoke to him in the early hours after a thrilling night in the velodrome in the Aquatic Centre. Mark Asplund, chief sports photographer, joins me now. Mark, you've been all over the venues at London 2012. Which sport has impressed you the most for its atmosphere?
Oh, that is a tough question. Starter question for 10 there. I've got to say, tonight in the velodrome, the opening night at the velodrome, when Chris Hoy literally powered his way to that gold medal, the ceiling honestly lifted off. It was absolutely spectacular.
And it looked incredible to see as well. And if people buy today's Times, they'll be able to see your pictures of Chris Hoy as well.
Well, let's hope so. He's just a mountain of a man, a mountain in the sport. And he is a legend. Whether he's a sir, whether he's made a Lord Sir, whatever comes after this, he deserves every accolade he gets, as far as I'm concerned.
There's something about the velodrome as well. I mean, I really do think it's a stunning venue. Do you think that and the other venues that you've visited are really capturing the essence of London? Do you feel like you're in London all the time?
Well funnily enough, actually, I was talking to Mrs. Hoy, but we were saying that the velodrome, what it always comes back to, mate, is the fact that we're in London. This is our home games. And whether I've been to the gymnastics or whether I've been to the fencing, the British people understand, the British people love our sport. And whether it's a Chinese fencer fencing for a bronze medal against a Cuban, the atmosphere is superb. And that was what was slightly different about Beijing. And there's certainly some of the stadia in Beijing, because if they didn't get the sport, the atmosphere certainly dropped down. Whereas in London 2012, everywhere you go, you know, us Brits are fully behind the athletes on show. And I think that's that for me at the moment, day six, seven, whatever we're into, that's for me is what's setting it apart. Not the stadia, but the British fans.
You mentioned in that the fencing, and there's an amazing 9-frame burst of yours that appeared. I read it on the Times website a couple of days ago. I urge anyone to have a look. I was also really impressed by Kohei Uchimura. Tell me about how it was to shoot him.
Oh, I'm really glad you brought that one up. You know, I was absolutely privileged to be on the deck. There's one of seven photographers that are actually allowed on the deck, whereas most photographers are allowed on the outside, 200 obviously guys. And to be that close to the gymnasts and see what they physically have to go through when they move from one discipline to the next. I mean, for one moment you're there, and this guy, this tiny little fella, is smaller than my 14-year-old boy, and he's just holding that crucifix position with no facial movement, no strain, whereas other guys there, their necks are twitching and their arms are twitching away, and you think they're going to collapse at any moment. And then he does the floor exercise, and normal guys just bounce and thud and crash through their floor exercises. He barely makes no noise, even when he's running along. And he's got this fantastic aura about him that he's just, for me, he's just the most beautiful gymnast I've seen. He really is spectacular.
The main dish is about to be served. The athletics starts later on today. I mean, that's really got to have you excited now, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. Our girl as well, Jessica Ennis, goes off at 10:05 on the first of her disciplines. I'm infield, so I'm going to be literally pointing my lens up Jess's nose. I'm sure, knowing Jess, that she'll give me a nod and a wink and a cheeky smile, but she will be unbelievably focused. She will be in the zone, and this golden hour they're all talking about, where Jess is expecting to just rack up those points. Again, honestly, this is my fifth Olympic Summer Olympics, and it is genuinely, I will stand, and it'll just be a pleasure to be in that stadium today.
And I look forward to seeing your photos of Jess giving a big smile to the camera on Saturday's Times.
Thanks, mate. I hope so too.
I'm with Gordon Smart from our crazy little sibling, The Sun. Gordon, how are you enjoying the Olympics?
It's the first time I've heard it, the crazy little sibling. I'm loving the Olympics every second so far. I've been totally engrossed in it. I got to run with the torch earlier on this year, so it kind of sucked me in from the very beginning. And about 2 years ago, we were given a guided tour by Seb Coe. So when that happened, that was me. I was sold on the whole thing. And because it's run so efficiently and done so well, by the time it kicked off, I was waiting for it to go wrong. I thought Friday night's opening ceremony was a masterpiece. It was brilliant, and I've been sucked in ever since.
I'm quite intrigued by the Olympics as an entertainment, which is a field that you're very much steeped in. How much are these modern sports stars celebrities?
Well, it used to be that rock stars were the big earners, but now sports stars really are the powerful earners. And if you look at footballers particularly, they're the ones on the big wage. So if you look at the GB team, you've got some incredibly wealthy guys there. But the Usain Bolts and even the cyclists, you know, I didn't quite realise, I've got to know Mark Cavendish quite well over the last couple of years. Those guys are on mega, mega salaries. So it's interesting to see that. And then the commercial side of it is quite interesting to tap into. But for me as a showbiz columnist, seeing all the parties that have been organised off the back of athletes' names, that's been quite interesting to see develop.
They like a party, Zeph. It's obviously they train hard, but some of them, I mean, I was listening to some of Bradley Wiggins' comments after he won. He knows how to party as well.
Bradley Wiggins is a man who knows how to drink, yeah. And I think he was on the vodka and tonic straight after his victory yesterday. And last night, Paul Weller dedicated his entire gig to Wiggins because he's obviously both mutual fans. But yeah, there's a lot still to come. So Usain Bolt's meant to be having a big party after he's performed, which should be one of the biggest events outside of the Stratford Arena.
How much tabloid currency does an Olympic gold buy you?
Oh, it's incredible. You just have to pick up the paper in the morning. You know, the panic until we won our first gold was palpable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think once it arrived, it was jubilation. And the papers have been great to read. There's so much to get involved in. And it's great to see that the country's being, on the whole, positive about it, because the G4S security scandal beforehand did threaten to overshadow the whole thing. But I think that's almost a distant memory now.
There is a hierarchy, though, isn't there? Like, Wiggins, who we've mentioned, is an absolute star. Yeah. Jessica Ennis, gold or not, is a star. Yeah. Pendleton is another star. Yeah. But then what about yesterday Peter Wilson won shooting gold. Will someone like that still transfer over to the Sun?
Well, actually, yes, because in the morning we have this morning conference with all the different heads of departments, and each head of the department will have an Olympics-related story. So I'm finding out quite a lot about guys like Peter Wilson, who was given a big sell this morning by the sports editor saying, this guy's our next hero. So that's the beauty of the Olympics, because suddenly you find yourself becoming an expert on sports you'd otherwise not be interested in, like, for example, judo and winning by ippon, which only comes round every 4 years.
Yeah, we're all experts now, aren't we? Yeah. I want to guess, what's the best venue you can go to then if you really want to spot the stars? I know Justin Timberlake commented yesterday that table tennis was his sport.
Yeah.
If I actually could get my hands on some tickets, where would I go celeb spotting?
You're right on the table tennis front, because a dream of mine was to do celebrity table tennis, because Chris Martin, Damon Albarn, Kasabian, it goes on and on and on. They're all huge table tennis fans, so that's not a bad shout. But I think the big one will be the 100 metres final at the actual the main stadium itself in Stratford on, I think, next Thursday. That'll be the one where all the top stars turn out to see Usain Bolt.
So this Olympics is a win.
It's the somewhat won it, yeah. You know, we will be claiming victory regardless of what happens. I just hope we can get near that 18 gold medal target that was set beforehand, because there's no reason for us to have any kind of negative coverage after such an amazing event.
I'm joined now by rowing correspondent Patrick Kidd. Patrick, it was another great day for GB rowing yesterday. The women as well seem to be kicking on. They're looking at another medal later on today, maybe.
Yes, well, traditionally it's been the men who have won all the golds for British rowing and most of the medals. But this is really looking like a games for the girls. We had Heather Stanning and Helen Glover won Britain's first gold. And then yesterday, the lightweight women's double of Kat Copeland and Sophie Hosking got through to the final. They'll be taking part in that tomorrow, on Saturday. There are now seven medals to go, or seven chances, and hopefully Britain will bring back a few from them.
Now, there are four big finals today. Talk me through each one and how strong our chances are of picking a medal up in each.
Well, it's the women again. The crucial one today, Catherine Granger and Anna Watkins going for gold in the double scull. This is a really good chance to go for Britain. They've won 22 consecutive races together. The 23rd, of course, is the only one that matters. And for Granger, if she wins, that would be a wonderful story. She's won silver at the past three Olympics, and if anyone deserves a gold medal, it's her. She's competing with Anna Watkins, who is this bubbly, great sprinter in the squad. And they have a really good chance. Watch out for Australia in their event. But there were three other finals. Alan Campbell in the men's single scull, the alpha male of contest, is trying to become Britain's first medalist in that event since 1928. And I think he's got a really good chance of a medal. Probably not gold, in fact, almost certainly not. But bronze or silver is not beyond him. We've also got Britain's first Olympic finalist in the men's quad. Don't think we'll get a medal there, but they've done very well. And we've got the men's pair, a young couple of guys called George Nash and Will Satch. And I think they'll be looking at silver.
Do you see this as being likely to be a successful Games?
Very much. Rowing is going to be Team GB's best sport. We entered 13 events at this Olympics, and we've got boats in all 13 finals, which is fabulous. You've got to give yourself a chance of a medal. And already we've got three medals from six finals. There are seven more chances to come, and I would be very surprised if we don't get four or five more medals, maybe six. I think the full seven's a bit beyond us, but you know, if we get six more medals, taking us up to nine in total, that would be fabulous.
Well, Patrick, have more fun at Dorney today. It's incredibly breezy out there, which is affecting obviously certain boats in certain lanes, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of controversy because the world governing body admitted yesterday that they were on the verge of reallocating the lanes. That means moving boats, moving the best boats from the centre lanes out towards the outside.
Wow.
So that they would get a bit of protection. They said if the wind picks up again and is coming across, they are going to look at that because they don't want to turn this into a lottery.
Some more of your thoughts from Twitter. Louise loves the fact that Missy Franklin was swimming in her pearl earrings. Classy. And Rowan said, if staying in bed all day was an Olympic sport, I would win the gold. Well, the Brits are famous for winning medals sitting down, so maybe lying down is the logical progression from there. If you want to get in touch, tweet us using the hashtag MyOlympics. If you aren't yet a Times subscriber, go to timespacks.co.uk. There are loads of excellent offers to suit your reading habits. And if you have the Times iPad app, you can see amazing pictures to accompany this. Certainly worthwhile for the Mark Asplund conversation. And you can also get the programme as an MP3 via iTunes. Just search Games Podcast. So the athletics is about to begin. This is the real meat of the Olympics. The Times iPad edition updates at 5 a.m, 5 p.m, and 10:30 p.m. every day of the Games. Goodbye.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open.
Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.